Go Loud.
Elon Musk announces. Sorry.
Was that him just naming one of his children? Sorry, what was that sound? Sinn Féin is like the Red Lewis line, a little bit scary but does well in disadvantaged areas. Fianna Fáil are like the Dart, big in the 80s, but you fucking couldn't rely on them. I trust that you got exactly what you wanted in the split. You got the umbrella hat, did you? Yeah, that was, she got the house.
Welcome back to A Few Scoops. This Saturday at 4 p.m, we are bringing A Few Scoops to Electric Picnic live at the I Hear podcast stage at Mindfield. To give you an idea of what to expect, here is our recent show at All Together Now. We hope you enjoy and we'll see you on Saturday. Hello, All Together Now.
I can't believe you came. Thanks a million. We leave it at that. Okay.
Thank you so much for coming. This is the first live episode of A Few Scoops with me, Aoife Muir, and you,
Colm O'Regan.
Thank you so much for coming. As I said, we're both really, really nervous and we didn't think anyone would come. So we're so delighted that you're here. A Few Scoops is a very, very young podcast. I think 9 weeks.
9 weeks, yeah. I mean, it's young in the sense it's only been around a while. I bring the age to the podcast.
So the point of A Few Scoops is we're trying to bring you all the news of the week with less existential dread, which means every week I come with at least 6 news stories and then Colm says, I can't make any jokes out of that. And the other thing is, we want your good news. So at the end of this episode, we will be going around with roving mics and we want to hear your good news. So think of a good news story about your life. I don't care if it's you finally got your period, you know, you got engaged. Oh, well done. Yeah. So we want your good news stories. That'll be coming around at the end. And if you like what you hear, we are contractually obligated to tell you that you should subscribe to A Few Scoops on Go Loud or wherever you get your podcast.
I actually overheard some good news already, and it's such an altogether now type of good news. I passed somebody who said, I've already done my 10,000 steps. That is the kind of festival we are at. That's how mad things get. They've done their steps already.
Okay, so we're going to get into it. We've got a few stories, and we have a very special guest who has a bad football supporting background, but we're not going to get into that. So our first story is about Dublin City Council. Now, forgive me and Colm, but we're not from Dublin, but we both live in Dublin. That's more about our bad choices and bad judgment and loving being robbed. So Dublin City Council are to hand, I'm not making this up, this is a real story. Dublin City Council are to hand out badges that say, I'm sound, to cyclists, pedestrians and drivers who look out for others and prioritise safety. Can I just say from right now, not one Dublin taxi driver will ever get an I'm Sound badge. And the other thing I would say is that wearing an I'm Sound badge, I come from Derry, that would be like a license to be mugged. Like, I really feel like if you walked around with a badge in Derry saying I'm Sound, people would be like, you're a man. But Colm has an even darker story about an I'm Sound badge.
That's right. This is back in the day. I was, because it's about, you know, policing the public space in a nice way. And I have a long history of being on the right side of the law. Age 12 and 6th class, I was a Muir Vus on the national school bus. My job was to walk around policing junior infants who were standing on seats. And this was in the good old days where you could actually use force on small children without consequences. And it really goes to your head. For anybody Irish isn't their first language, which is everybody. Muir is kind of the Irish for steward. You may be familiar with GA matches where the role of a Muir, you'll see them written on the back of their bibs on the side of the pitch. Their job is when a fight develops on the pitch, there's somebody who can run on and take part in the fight without being sent off. Then they just leave the pitch after that. So I think it could be good. I mean, as a cyclist and as somebody who would also swear at cyclists, I think it's going to be an interesting one where you go and approach people with a sticker and just slap it on their back. You were thinking maybe a different style of sticker.
Yeah, I actually think it would be much more productive to just give stickers to people who cut people off saying, I'm a wanker. And then if you don't indicate, if you cut off pedestrians, if you run red lights, you could just stick a sticker on the back of these people's cars that say, I'm a wanker. But we would probably run out of paper and adhesive and all these different things. And the difference between me and Colm, we were talking about him being in the north, we call it a bus prefect. And he was saying, oh, you know, I was a bus prefect. And I said, oh, the only physical scrap I've ever got under was on a bus. So I could have used a bus prefect like Colm to stop me punching that girl who was the year above me at school.
I like the wanker thing, because at the moment I think we've lost the power of this gesture. You know, remember the good old days. So I love that the sex positivity, but we've taken some of the power out of this gesture, and I think we should bring that back in for the benefit of the people listening on podcast. Colm is making the international wanker gesture. The
international sign for masturbation.
We weren't going to say the word masturbation, but fuck it, we've said it now anyway. We just hi to all the kids in the audience. We'll take anyone in this crowd.
Yeah, very sex positive. Right, we're moving on because I didn't want that story anyway. Okay, so this is my favorite story. Ladies and gentlemen and everyone else, there is a new male contraceptive pill that is about fucking time. So Your Choice Therapeutics have developed the first non-hormonal contraceptive for men 60 years after the female contraceptive pill has been developed.
They were just waiting for it to bed in, just to see how it would go.
So it works by, I don't know why I have this, it works by blocking the production of a protein that produces sperm. However, men will see no reduction in testosterone, sex drive, or any other hormonal imbalance, and everything else should go on as normal. Girls,
I think you're being a little harsh on men there, because men have been taking an oral contraceptive pill for millennia. It's called drink, and it actually is proven, and they didn't test that on mice.
Most of male contraceptive is their personalities, but. The male loneliness epidemic is just your personality. So
hence this gesture. Anyway, let's go on.
So anyway, it is now found to have no side effects, unlike the female contraceptive pill that we've all been putting up with for a very long time. So the female contraceptive pill was first brought into the market in 1960, which was before my mammy was born. So 1 in 3 men said they would take the contraceptive pill. So let's just do a show of hands for the men in the audience. Who would take the male contraceptive pill? Oh, we've 1, 2. Lads, where are you?
I can't tell where the person shouting, oh, lads, okay, is going. Yeah. Come on, more if you put your hands up, or so don't put your hands up.
A pretty pathetic showing, right? Girls, would you trust men to take the male contraceptive pill? And we're at an impasse.
I like the idea that they tested it on mice first. And I love the idea of mice lying about it. You know, just going, oh, no, I have taken it. Yeah, let's go for it. That was, for the audio, that motion I made there was a mouse having sex. Sorry. I didn't think we'd end up at that spot, but here we are.
Okay, so now we've started a gender war. The next story is, for our neighbours across the pond, neighbours being a really, really nice term, Jeremy Corbyn has started his own party. I am, for one, very happy to hear this, right?
Do we have any English in the tent, by the way?
No, they heard I was here and were like, nah. So Jeremy Corbyn has started his own party. It doesn't have a name, but along with MP Zara Sultana, they are going to start a party to take on the rich and powerful I'd like to point out at this stage that Jeremy Corbyn's children went to private school, and a campaign for the redistribution of wealth. Jeremy Corbyn said the party does not have a name yet, but it would offer an alternative to the control freaks of Labour and the dangerously divisive party of Reform UK, which is, you know, Nigel Farage's party. So in just 3 days, more than 500,000 people have signed up to your party, but that's technically not its name. And I think we've talked about this a lot. So as Irish people, like, we've always technically seen the Labour Party as like the good ones. Like, we were like, if you have to have like Brits, but like, if you have to have one of them, you know, you would have the Labour Party. And then it was really one of those like, be careful what you wish for type of things, because Keir Starmer came in and decided, you know, welfare, people don't need it. What I'm actually going to do is target delivery drivers and, you know, the most vulnerable in society. Because his view was like, you know, people vote for the Tories, but what they really want is diet Tories. That's what it is. Like, they're too right wing, but if we're only sort of right wing, and people voted for Labour because they weren't as bad as the Tories, and now they've got into government and they're somehow worse. So Jeremy Corbyn, who is actually left wing, and Zara Sultana, who is actually left wing, have now started their own party.
I think one of the reasons why we like Labour in Ireland is that one of the strongest compliments you can give somebody in Ireland is, Asher, he's not the worst of them. And I think that's why we just... You like some Labour people, don't you? Are you used to them, the good old days?
Yeah, not bad. Mo Mullen. Shout out for Mo Mullen. But yeah, not the worst of them. Like, as a Northerner, we would have looked to Labour for like the Bloody Sunday Inquiry, the Good Friday Agreement. These are the people that we'd have been like, yeah, grant. I mean, Tony Blair, to the latter half of his career, maybe we wouldn't talk about that. But he definitely was like, yeah, fine. So they don't actually have a name for this party yet, despite having 600,000 members. So they said they don't want to call it your party. What would you call it?
Well, I mean, one of the co-leaders is, her surname is Sultana. We could call it Raisin Hell. I didn't think we'd be able to hear a groan, actually, with the loud background sound, but fair fucks to whoever groaned there. That really carried. Thanks a million for that, the loud groan, or whoever that is.
I don't think your party's that bad. Like, when you go away to the continent and the European parties, they always have party names like People's Party.
What do our parties mean here? So Sinn Féin, what does that mean? We yourself.
We ourselves.
We yourself. Which, just to be clear, is we with one E, not like piss yourself. Fianna Fáil is Soldiers of Destiny. It's an open tent. This is a metaphor for our politics. Fine Gael is the Irish Warriors. Social Democrats is massive profit on Palantir shares. Labour. I like to compare them to kind of different modes of transport. Like the, you know, Fine Gael is like the Green Lewis line. You know, it's completely insulated from reality. Sinn Féin is like the Red Lewis line. A little bit scary, but does well in disadvantaged areas. Fianna Fáil are like the Dart, big in the 80s, but you fucking couldn't rely on them. And then the Labour Party is like the number 17 bus, which is a very niche public transport joke, but it starts in Rialto, but then ends up in Blackrock. Greens are a bicycle. You do your own thing there. I look forward to any new political party because gives an opportunity to have a good fucking cut off them. You know what I mean?
We were saying that earlier. It's like, you know, when there's an older party and something mental comes out about them, you don't really think that much about it. But if something mental comes up about a new party, like Reform or the Social Democrats, they get like an outsized amount of attention on it. So, you know, what's a few is really shared between pals. If what happened to the Social Democrats happened to Fianna Fáil, we wouldn't even be talking about it. This wouldn't even be
The scamps. You couldn't be up to them. That's the kind of shite. Okay.
They've moved on for the brown envelopes anyway, haven't they, pals?
Just to check, because Labour Party's this new party's taking on the rich and powerful. Do we have any rich and powerful in the tent? Very good. Like the man laid back there.
Sorry,
sunglasses.
The man wearing sunglasses inside was the only person.
Yeah, he's got crypto. Is that look about him? Are you a crypto man, sir? Yeah. You know, okay, right, fine. How much is it worth now, you bastard? Okay. Anyway.
So, the next story, this is fucking brilliant. Okay, so The presidential race is heating up, folks, right? We have had the most popular president we've ever had, and that includes a northern woman. We have a poet, a Galway man, a legend of the Irish language, someone who's vertically challenged, but not legendary challenged. Miguel D. Higgins is done. We have only properly two women that have come forward, Mairead McGuinness and Catherine Connolly. I know my crowd.
No, but Syrians in, I see. Ooh, controversial. Anyway.
So the only man who's actually declared so far is the myth, the legend, Michael Flatley. Yeah. So Michael Flatley has said that he wants to run. He is an Irish citizen. He is over 35, Riverdance star. And, you know, I would say someone we all grew up with in different ways, right? But I found this story during the week and I thought, what? This is what sometimes you'd want in a president. During high court proceedings in Michael Flatley's Cork home, they found shark jaws, which were one of a number of high value items that the millionaire kept in his mansion, which also reportedly had a safari room. He currently lives in Monaco, fair play to him. And animal rights activists took up against him because he had an African rhino horn along with the shark's jaws. Now, this has a black market value of €200,000. And it emerged that it was part of an endangered species that was stolen in 2014. And the thieves, who were never caught, were pursued by Michael Flatley in his Ferrari, but they managed to evade him. Is this not the man we want in the RS? If someone breaks into the RS, he's there in one of his many Lamborghinis straight away, jigging across Castleknock, looking for these thieves.
It's one of the great things about the Irish presidential election campaign as it has evolved. Remember in 1990, the biggest thing was Mary Robinson then. And the thing that emerged then was Brian Lenihan Sr. couldn't remember if he'd made a phone call. That used to be a scandal, the level of scandal in a presidential election. But as you've got more candidates, it's just got more fun. You know, you just have Dana ends up suing somebody out the back of it. A.D. Roach gets accused of this and that. You have Sean Gallagher getting ambushed.
For the brown envelopes.
On brown envelopes. Again, we're not saying he had anything to do with brown envelopes because we don't really get into a high court case at this stage of the podcast gestation. But it's just great that the more candidates you have, the more shit that emerges. And
so
I have
one Michael Flatley story.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
So I did the late late. Yeah. Right, so I did the late late and... no word of a lie. The guests for the late late, this is like a bad acid trip, right? It was me, Michael Flatley, and Ek and Sue who just won Love Island, right? So
you're exactly the average of the two of
both
those.
Of them, yeah, right? So I get sent to the green room and it was Tubbs, the glory days, right? So we didn't even know about everything else. So I went into the green room, me and Michael Flatley. Obviously my family had better things to do, so I was on my own, right? Michael Flatley had an entourage with him, his wife, his son, business managers, all these people around him. And I was like, where's the other guest? What's happening? They were like, oh, Ek and Sue demanded her own private green room. So Ek and Sue was in a different green room from me and Michael Flatley, right? So there was like balloons and champagne and all this shit for Ek and Sue, right? And it was me and Michael Flatley's family. Usually you have people like to go with you, but my family were like, fuck it, we're not going to Dublin. So I was like, oh, can I sit with you, Michael Flatley's family? And and they were like,
I just imagine them all in a perfect line, dressed in black,
right?
Fetching t-shirts.
Yeah. So anyway, right, I'm sitting there with all these Yanks and lovely having a glass of wine. And I did that thing where I was like, I'll only have one glass of wine before I go on. Don't want to be too drunk. And then I had to sit with a load of Yanks. So I was just like, anyway, in the green room, Michael Flatley pulls out a flute and starts just playing the flute. And I was sitting there with my glass of wine, like, while Michael Flatley played the flute. So he was on before me. And then in his interview, Ryan Tuberty was this, oh, Michael, I hear you play the flute. And he was like, oh. And he was like, oh, not really. And he was like, well, would you believe it? We brought on a flute, right? And then he brings on a flute. He hands it to Michael Flatley. And he was like, oh my God, I have not played the flute in so long. He was like, I wouldn't know what to do. And I was like, fraud. This is the person who's running for our president. A fraud. A man who would lie to Ryan Tuberty is a man who would lie to the Irish people. And we don't want him.
When we were discussing this backstage and Aoife said I was in the green room with Michael Flatley and he pulled out his flute, I thought it was going to be one of those stories. And I was, you know, I was sympathising with it. But in some ways, somebody from Derry being faced with
a flute
of any type, musical or otherwise, given what the Orange Men are up to, it's just doubly traumatising, in fact. An Orange Man waving his flute and pulling out a flute. It's double jeopardy, really.
Speaking of trauma for Derry people, let's bring on our next guest, Colm's good friend, and some say a comedian, Eric Lawler.
Hey! Last time, hold me now, don't cry, don't say you were just hold me now, and I will know though we're apart. Oh my God.
Bohemians and Derry City back together again.
And not a golf club in sight.
Yeah. For those who don't watch League of Ireland, which I'm assuming is most of yous going by the viewing figures, Bohemians came up to Derry last week. And as you know, we are a peaceful people. Yeah. Derry people don't want hassle. We'd never see the like of it, but those shoddy North Dublin people came up to the Brandywell and all fucking hell broke loose when they came up. There was a very small but considerable riot, and then when they went back down to Dublin, it ended. And that's the end of the story.
So, all right, nice one, Aoife. I don't get her the post there at all, no.
What do you think happened?
All I hear, right, I knew something bad had happened when it broke out on social media. And when Bo's fans are being congratulated by Shamrock Rovers fans and Shelburne fans for standing up to the Derry Louts, it makes me believe that I know where the problem is.
It's some of the most amazing League of Ireland footage I've seen. Is it Derry young lads with rocket
launchers?
They
brought a rocket launcher. To be fair, he was only putting fireworks in it.
Yeah.
Like, those days are done, do you know? But like,
we should be thankful of that.
Lads, this had been 30 years ago, it would be a very different story. We're an efficient people. We like to bring our own props. Anyway, so, Eric, would you vote for Michael Flatley?
Oh, 100%. Oh, 100%. Now, I'm a Catherine Connolly fan, I'll be honest with you. Somebody will. But I knew that was the popular thing to say because I heard backstage. Yeah. No, I'm all over Catherine Connolly. Not literally, but I will. No, she's definitely getting my vote. But Michael Flatley would be so much fun as our president, wouldn't he? Imagine him walking out to the Aviva to shake the players' hands. I would love that. I would absolutely. And then going to the White House to present the Shamrock to your man.
Also, we haven't had a really good silk blouse in the RS since Mary McAleese. So that's why we need Michael Flatley. It was a lovely silk blouse.
Yeah.
And he does wear them well. And a pair, actually.
It'd be some merchandise, wouldn't it?
Oh, unbelievable.
Green presidential silk blouses as worn by our president.
Anyway.
Yes.
I heard you became a granda recently. Well, yeah.
That's no big feat. Like, you know, I'm from Ballymun. Most grandas are 32. Ballymun.
There wasn't a giant woo from the crowd of surprise. He looks so young.
Is he not a great granddad by now? So it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing to find out you become a granddad. You know, when you hear the news, it kind of stops you dead in your tracks. Like, oh, Jesus, holy shit.
Do you feel old enough to be a granddad?
Yeah, I do, actually, yeah. There's a lot of joy, a lot of euphoria, a lot of pride. But also, there's an epiphany moment. It's like, holy shit, Eric, you're getting old.
Yeah.
It's time to grow the fuck up. No more going down to Electric Picnic, licking squirrels on acid. None of that shit anymore, you know. You know, maybe buy yourself a cardigan or something, you know.
You just mature into it. You start doing things like politics podcasts at All Together Now. That's the kind of stuff that happens.
Oh, is this a politics podcast?
Yeah. Well, it's banter. It's banter.
No, it's an amazing thing. And we found the news and it was like, oh my God, amazing. And you have time to absorb. And then I was told my daughter wanted to have a reveal party, you know.
A gender reveal?
A da reveal.
Yeah, it was a da reveal,
It is Ballymun.
But it's a lot of joy, a lot of euphoria, but also the main feeling was, you know, absolute shock, you know, because I don't have any kids.
Do you feel different about you know, the country your grandchild's going to grow up in.
Yeah.
Because at this stage, you're kind of like, sure, the children now, whatever will happen, will happen. But now the grandchildren are going to do something about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the young people are very active these days, and I can't wait to show my grandson, Teddy, how to use the male contraceptive pill.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Well, this is it. By the time it actually becomes, like, usable on the HSE, Teddy will be old enough to use it. So, you know, if we give it a good 18 years before the HSE catch on to it.
Absolutely.
Young Teddy, who's, what, three now?
Yeah,
he'll be able to use it then.
And is it an actual pill?
Aye, it's a pill.
It's not a coil you show up your arse, no?
Parents. These fuckers know not. We have to do that.
How would you trust?
I swear to God, when I got it in, I saw God. It was the worst experience of my life.
Did you say when I got it in?
God forbid that you'd ever have to take a pill.
No, I
saw that trolley walking across there. I thought she was about to hand out pills for everyone in the audience. They're like,
and we have a special surprise. One in the audience.
Imagine coming out to a festival and having all your pills in a bag.
Imagine.
Yeah. Imagine putting pills up your bum in a festival.
And somebody saying, did you take the pill? I did. Well, why is your jaw swinging?
Yeah.
Would you take the male contraceptive pill?
Thanks for laughing, Pat.
I see that's a legend out there. He's from Finglas, he says.
Finglas, I love it. That's my hometown, yeah. Yeah, yeah, love it. Oh, cheers, pal. Thanks. I'm on a sunny 3:15. Be there, yeah?
Yeah, Eric. So this is our podcast. Sorry, just walk on, please, sir. Thanks very much.
Eric, back in the room, in the room. If you were a young fella in Finglas, would you have taken the male contraceptive pill?
I don't know. I really don't know. Because, no, you did say there's no hormonal effects.
No. Do you want hormonal effects?
No, because I've seen women take the pill and the hormonal effects.
Yes.
And I don't want to end up like that.
God, that must have been so tough for you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to ride that? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, I see you talking about going in the car with someone and then in some fella chasing you in the car or something like that.
That's cool. Maybe talk about it. Has show.
It's that's Teddy's dad down there.
Anyway, so we're going to go into the audience now for your good news. Does anyone want to put your hand up for good news? Not the fellow who wants to talk to Eric. He'll talk to you after.
There's a man down there.
Okay, there's a man here. Hands up.
And we'll have a couple of sessions. We do want to hear from the man in the best hat.
Two guards have the hands up.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, yeah. No.
Right, roving mic over to this fella here.
There you go. He looks Australian.
We're getting married in October.
Oh!
Amazing!
Oh. Where are you getting married? Is it a church wedding or a pagan one? Pagan.
Love.
I will say this. Can I just say with the pagan weddings, I love them, right? But Irish people get tense at a non-religious wedding.
There's no
because
Jesus.
We don't know where we are in the ceremony, so we don't know how long it's going to go on for, right? So you need to put signposts in, I swear, because even if we're not Catholic, you'll still have it like the map in your mind. So you'll go, Lord of mercy, Christ of mercy, Lord of mercy, first reading, sing the psalm, say the psalm, all that. I was at a wedding and it was lovely. It was beautiful. They'd written their own vows. Absolutely gorgeous. But they hadn't employed an editor and they were going on a bit. And it was beautiful vows. Like, you know, you are the willow in my life, soft and bendy and yieldy or some sort of shit like that. And I heard one fella behind me, he was just panicking. He didn't know how long the ceremony was going to go on for. And I heard him say to his wife, the parking's gone into the next hour. Like that's the worry. So if you are planning it yourself, just tell people what, just maybe a little timer like this actually, just so people know. You didn't invite anyone. Oh, it's going to be.
Oh, great.
Oh, very good.
Great idea.
Where are you going? You don't know where you're going to go, so you're just going to have it as a miserable wedding by yourself. And the idea is, one of you a Protestant? What happened? What's going on?
Yeah.
Do you need a comedian for your wedding? Yeah. Seriously, no, genuinely, yeah.
Man in the umbrella hat. There, yeah, give him a
hat.
Yeah.
Hat man, what's up?
I just moved out after living with my ex for 6 months.
Shout out the housing crisis!
Wow. And I trust that you got exactly what you wanted in the split. You got the umbrella hat, did you? Yeah, she got the house.
Sorry, were you actually living with her for 6 months as your ex?
Oh, mocker.
Jesus. Someone give that man tablets.
Yeah. Hands up, this gentleman here. Is there any ladies?
There's a lady in stripey.
There's a lovely lady.
lady.
Blouse, or short. I'm not,
typical blouse. Men taking the limelight, huh? I went back to college last year and just found out I passed all my exams for me. Hey!
Congratulations,
unreal.
Sir.
Well done.
What did you study? Shout it.
Accounting.
Not pretty rock and roll. What do you mean?
And this lovely lovely person here, yeah?
It's not a personal thing, but I think we should celebrate that Aoife Moore is one of the best journalists working in Ireland today.
Hey! Aoife and her plants.
Yeah. Thanks.
Guys. Oh, I'm pretty.
Thanks, Aoife's sister. Yeah.
Thank you so much. That was
I know for sure that I'm never going to have kids, and that's a good thing.
Yes!
Yeah!
Women taking
kids
control of their bodies!
Kids are shit!
Woo!
The woman selling toys pulling out. She's going, no, this is
child the thing there. Sorry. You're not shit. The rest of the kids are.
Is there a child in that?
Yeah, there's a child there.
What is it about? Oh, look.
Yeah. Oh, my God, lads, there's a baby in that cart.
Come here, before you go, that is your child, yeah?
She's covering her ears. Sorry.
It was a lucky dip.
Do you want to be on a podcast? Because we have to fill time.
Jesus Christ,
it's extremely, like, you know that when you wonder what kind of audience reaction do you want? Somebody leaving like this from your event is always a good one, I find. I feel we've moved them and changed their lives.
Okay, hold on. We do have a game,
right?
We have
a game. Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Game?
So we have a game, but you can also be involved in the game, right? So I'm going to read out headlines from the news. By the way, I forgot to say this. This is a news podcast. So we're going to read out headlines from the news. And you have to decide whether it's true or something our producer made up, right?
The audience are waiting with bated breath here, Aoife.
Calls for Scotland-wide seagull summit amid warnings someone could be killed. Do we think this is true or false? Colin?
So is this seagulls having a summit or a summit
the people,
about seagulls?
The victims of the seagulls. Scotland-wide seagull summit amid warning someone could be killed.
That definitely has to be true, is it?
Has to be true. Seagulls are pricks.
Audience? It's true!
Yes!
Okay, next one. Oh my God. German Customs... Fuck, you never know. German Customs sees 1,500 baby tarantulas smuggled in fake cake boxes.
Oh...
Why would you make that up?
I can't believe they found them. it's what a surprise, though. It's a nice kind of biodiverse alternative to a stripper jumping out of a birthday cake.
The cake boxes were vibrating, and that's what tipped them off.
That's another true one, I'd say.
It's true!
I love that somebody is shouting false. He doesn't want to live in a world where tarantulas are inside in cake boxes. He doesn't want it to be true.
German people would never do that to us. Okay, this one could really go either way. Elon Musk...
Although he hates Trump now.
Elon Musk announces. sorry.
Is that, was that him just naming one of his children? Sorry, what was that sound?
Elon Musk announces plan to reduce need for human touch. I'm sure he, went without it for quite some time. Elon Musk announces plan to reduce need for human touch with Tesla's auto hug mode. True or false?
False. That's
has to be false.
Well, fuck off, Ice Cream.
Do we have any Tesla owners in the room? Anyone? Nobody.
Fell down the bike.
Oh, sorry.
That he can't even drive.
All right. So you don't need to. You don't need to with the Teslas.
Okay. Lidl.
Sorry, it's
Lidl. No, wait. Yeah. Lidl UK. Yeah. Lidl UK launches Silent Aisle. For shoppers who hate small talk.
Now, I think that's false because I think there was a story there a while ago where they introduced quiet time.
For neurodivergent people.
Yeah. And for people just didn't like people.
Men,
exactly.
It depends on what constitutes small talk. What I like about the middle aisle is that it's so surprising. People say stuff out loud that they don't mean to say because I was in... one time and it was like white vests and white underpants were part of the special offer and I was standing next to two women who were kind of going through it. I was looking at the bananas and the cheese and the roofing tiles and the I heard two women talk. It was a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. And I heard the daughter-in-law say to her mother-in-law, she said, "Look, Mary, three white vests for a fiver. Wouldn't they do Tommy?" And Tommy's mother said, "Yes, but don't bother getting him the white underpants. Sure, you know what he's like."
And it's just...
And it just... That's the kind... If there's an aisle that prevents that kind of talk, I don't want that to be true.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for false.
Anyway,
in that
it was
one.
False. Yeah. Okay. Oh my God, this is also grim. Influencers invent fake children and AI-generated spices to capitalize on CEO kiss cam scandal. True or false?
Sorry, there's a lot to unravel there.
So, yeah, you know the Coldplay thing?
Coldplay, yeah.
Okay, so I'll say it again. This is very hard in a Derry accent. Influencers invent fake children and AI-generated spices to capitalize on CEO kiss cam scandal. What do you reckon? Influencers, like, that's a very broad term.
Yeah, twats, isn't that what they're calling? Are there any influencers in, or do you all have real jobs?
Mr. Tesla over there.
Maybe not, don't say that in the go light tent. He also.
Oh, yes, yeah, shit.
Okay,
yeah,
true or false, influencers making fake children? It is true. Well done. What a smart audience we have.
I still don't know what it means, but it's a LinkedIn story. Yeah.
Okay. Study reveals, true or false, study reveals cocaine has been found in prawns across the British waterways.
That's definite, yeah.
No, I'm going to say false, because isn't it sharks that have been on the cocaine recently? I mean, as if they're not confident enough.
Yeah.
Jaws, he was full of confidence. Imagine him on cocaine.
And then the big black eyes as well. You know,
exactly.
Like the black
rolling around his head.
Sharks are on yolks. That's why the jaw is
on. Steven Spielberg must have shown. Okay, so yeah, that's true. There is prawns. Prawns are high on cocaine across the British waterways. Last one, and then I promise we'll go. Okay. TikTok trend has TikTok trend has teens storing raw eggs in car engines to naturally hard-boil them. True or false? This is a mixture we have here. What do you think?
It sounds not only true, but it also sounds like an owl lad saying, "Oh, that's the kind of thing we'd believe they do, all right." Talk tickers.
They're putting raw eggs into the car engines to boil them.
They boil, hard-boil them.
Wait,
there's
no fucking pots on a cooker like you.
Aye, but that's not going to get you the clicks.
Oh, okay, right. I see what you're doing there.
Anyway, true or false, people? It's false.
Yes.
With that is the end of a few scoops at All Together Now.
Their first live show, ladies and gentlemen. Make some noise.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you so much for coming out. And I have my own good news. My friends, Deg and Emer, got married in the last couple of weeks and they're not here, but I wanted to give them a shout out as well. And we're so, so delighted. Me and Colm were like holding on to each other, nearly throwing up before we came on. And we're so, so glad that people came, because we didn't think people would come. And as far as we know, we're not related to any of these, but with my with my family, it is touch and go. So thank you so much for coming. And we want to thank our special guest, Eric.
Thanks, Aoife. Eric, you're on the comedy tent on
Sunday, 3:15. I'm very good.
Yeah.
And Colm, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm off now. I'm not staying for Fontaine's DC. I don't care what part of Washington they're from. I'm just not here to...
Thank you so much to everybody. And please tune in to a few scripts wherever you get your podcast.
Thank you. Good afternoon.